The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord. God grant us serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So much here. And I want us just to look at one part of this beautiful prayer of Jesus. Jesus is praying to the Father on behalf of his dear friends, and there's so much here for us that it could be a year of sermons, but I just want us to focus today on this language that Jesus uses about us not being of the world. Because I've heard that language about Christians not being of the world, and I've heard it misused. I've heard it used as a way to keep us separated and sort of feeling like we don't belong here in a way that is really like, can be dismissive of the people around us. We can use that language of us not belonging to the world to be dismissive, not only of the world around us and its problems, but of people when we disagree with them, or when we go, well, they're not my kind of people. Well, we're not of the world. I've seen this kind of Christianity, this kind of religion. I've been a part of it. And so I really want us to understand what Jesus is saying, because a lot of times when we don't know what to do with Jesus, what Jesus is saying, or if we've seen his words be used, misused, to abuse or to separate or to divide us, we oftentimes, as we're getting over these things, we go, well, I'm just not going to read that part anymore, or I'm just going to focus on the stuff that makes sense to me right out of the gates. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that because it scares me and it represents a Jesus I don't know what to do with. And I get that, but we can't do that. Imagine if you were in a relationship with someone, a real relationship with someone, of whether it be a partnership, a marriage, or a friendship, even a collegial relationship, and you just said, oh, well, those parts of you that I don't know how to handle, I'm just not going to look at them or deal with them in any way, shape, or form. That wouldn't work. If we're going to live in relationship with God, we have to try to understand the fullness of what's happening here. And I think the best way to do that is for me to tell you a story about the Beastie Boys. I realize that the Beastie Boys are not of the generation of many of you here, so you're just going to have to bear with me for a moment, okay? The Beastie Boys were a seminal hip-hop and rap group from Brooklyn. They came up in the late 80s, early 90s, and were around for a while. And for my generation, they're kind of a big deal. It was a glorious summer, the summer of 1994, when a little song called Sabotage hit the airwaves. It's a classic song now, which means that I'm old, because it's a classic song. It's 24 years old, that song. But when it came out, it was loud and brash, and it was gorgeous and glorious, and it was just a huge monster hit for the Beastie Boys, and I hated it. I hated it. And I didn't hate it because it was a bad song, right? I hated it because I was 15, and I didn't like the people who liked that song. The people who liked that song were all kind of in a different scene than I was, and I thought I was better than them. You know, high school is an interesting time, as you all remember, and some of you don't know yet, but you'll see, it's super interesting. And one of the things that happens in high school is all of these distinctions and separations start to be made, and we think that they have something to do with maturity and about being the right kind of people. And then in high school, you know, that's when, for some people, drinking and drugs and smoking comes into the picture, and for others it doesn't. I'm standing before you, a very religious, professional priest guy. You can guess which one I was. I was like super, super straight-laced. Like embarrassingly straight-laced, and which is fine. I'm really glad that I was. I'm happy with who I was, but I'm not happy with the fact that I didn't know how to be who I was without hating or judging people who weren't like me. I didn't know how to just be me, as me, without looking at people who were making different decisions and going, "Well, they're idiots." I didn't know how to do it, and it got to a place where not only could I not just be myself and allow others to be themselves, but I couldn't listen to the music they were listening to because of what that might mean about me. I couldn't identify with not just how it sounded, but like the whole aura around it, because that was not who I was. If this generationally isn't connecting with you, just remember that you couldn't like the Rolling Stones if you liked the Beatles. And if you liked the Dead, you didn't know what to do with either the Rolling Stones or the Beatles, is what some people would say, right, Kevin? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I remember I was talking to somebody about how I was listening to Frank Sinatra, and he was just like, this older gentleman, and this was like 10 years ago, and he was like, "Ugh, Sinatra. I was never into, ugh, Sinatra. I was a Dean Martin guy." I was like, "They're best friends. You don't have to pick." But we do this. We pick. We pick sides. And so this language that we have that Jesus uses that can feel like a really divisive language, we have to be really careful with the language about what it means for us to not be of this world and to separate ourselves in some way. The reality is actually, it's not easy, it's never easy, but it's simple. Which is that Jesus is trying to tell his people that they are not defined primarily by their political identity, their religious identity, even their family identity or their heritage. This is not their primary identification, which is so difficult for us even today. He is trying to tell them that their primary definition is as daughters and sons of God. That they were born out of the love of God, and they were born for the love of God, and this is their primary existence. Their DNA is made up of love. Their very being is made up out of God's great love and mercy. And that is who they are, fundamentally. And it doesn't mean people who weren't Jesus followers weren't also that. But when he talks about the world and not being of the world, he's acknowledging the fact that the world that we live in, the world in which we live, is so good at making us think that we are defined by so many other things. That we are defined by how cool we are, how rich we are, how young we are, how good-looking we are, how thin we are, if we listen to the right kind of music, vote the right kind of way, believe the right kinds of things. All of these things are what really make us who we are supposed to be. This is the world talking to us. And Jesus is fighting against that, sisters and brothers. He's fighting against it. Jesus' whole life is a struggle against that idea that you are just a sum of all of the things that you believe and do. Jesus is trying so hard to get us to see that first and foremost, we are just beloved daughters and sons of God. This should not make us have an adversarial relationship with people who are different from us. I know we want it to, but we can't let it, because when you hear what Jesus says, he says here, "As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." How does God send Jesus into the world? He sends Jesus into the world, yes, as someone who is love incarnate. Yes, as someone who understands fully and totally that he is born of love and born for love. Nevertheless, he sends Jesus into the world as one who is there to care for and love the people around him at all costs and in all cases and in all ways. Jesus is sent into the world, yes, in some ways differentiated from the culture, but never in a way that makes him say, "I'm not going to love you." Jesus is sent into the world differentiated from the culture, but he's differentiated so that he can stand in the strength of a love that is not conditional. Stand rooted and grounded like the tree by the water that we talked about in the psalm. Stand rooted and grounded in a real love that enables him, empowers him to love all those around him, to serve them and care for them. Which brings me back to the Beastie Boys. I'm older now and I'm not in high school and I can just listen to things and not worry about what it means about me. So now I listen to that song, and I'm trying to make it a lost time. I listen to it louder and more times now than you ever would imagine. And I recommend Sabotage by the Beastie Boys to all of you, whatever your age is. If it's too loud, that's okay. Just listen to it 4 more times, and you'll be like, "Ah, I love it. It's amazing." And I listen to it now, and I can listen to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. I can do both. It's okay. But I want to go further than that. I want to push this further than that, because we live in a time, in a world that is divided, and it tells you that you have to pick sides. We live in a time right now where you have to pick sides. Can you imagine for a moment, can you imagine a world in which any one of our Democratic, and I mean Democrats, who are in power, in office, got up and said, "You know, here's a couple things about Donald Trump's policy that I'm okay with." Can you imagine if they just said that? Not, "I like him, I'd vote for him," or anything nice about him. Don't worry, we wouldn't want to go crazy. Just a Democratic lawmaker who said, "Well, you know, honestly, I kind of agree with his point on tariffs," or it was, you know, anything, just anything. We can't even imagine a world like that. Can you imagine a world in which a Republican lawmaker stood up and said, "Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the way that my president is unfaithful to his wife and uses absurd, vulgar language"? No, really, can you imagine where if a Republican could stand up and say that, or a Democrat could stand up and say something? We can't. Republicans are here on our president. Democrats are here. Pick a side. Pick it. And I'm not saying we can't have beliefs, deeply held convictions and beliefs about what is happening in our world. I know we can. I know we're meant to, actually. Do we know how to have deeply held convictions and beliefs that don't immediately cause us to put other people outside of our love and outside of our understanding and compassion? Do we know how to love without picking sides and hating others? Do we know how to be defined by love instead of defined by our political party, our citizenship? Do we have any idea how to do that? Jesus does. Jesus does. Jesus is trying to help us recognize something so simple, so simple, but so hard. We don't belong to this culture. We're in it. We're affected by it. We have opinions about it. We even contribute to it. But we belong to God. We don't belong to God so that we're shielded from everything. We don't belong to God so that we don't have to, so that we can be numb and not care what happens to the world. We don't belong to God in such a way that it makes it that we can just go, well, whatever happens out there, that's not my problem. No, but we do belong to God in such a way that we are defined utterly, first and foremost, by our belovedness and by our recognition that every single person out there is also beloved. To say that we don't belong to the world does not mean we don't belong to each other, and it does not mean we don't belong to the love and the hearts of the people out there. It means we are not going to be defined by the mistakes of our generation. We will be defined by God's love. It's who we are. Jesus' prayer for us today is a lot of things. But I believe at its core, Jesus is praying that our hearts will be protected. That our hearts will be protected, that they will be rooted and grounded in the love of God so firmly that we will allow ourselves to go out into this world and love everybody, to appreciate all different kinds of music, all different kinds of ways of being, to be ourselves, yes, to believe what we believe and know what we know and think what we think, yes, but to do it with humility and to be who we are as we are in a way that always and always and always seeks love, understanding, mercy. This is our birthright. We are of God. We were born for love.